I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Still to come, a look at the Performing Arts High School in the nation's capital and its leaders' Hail Mary play to restore the program to greatness. But first, we want to talk to you about one man's frustration. His name is Marvin Arrington, and throughout his long career, he's made headlines. He was one of Emory University's first full-time African-American law students. He went on to become one of Atlanta's top lawyers and president of the Atlanta City Council. And now, as a Fulton County Superior Court judge, he is making headlines again. Dismayed by a constant stream of black defendants in his courtroom, Judge Arrington took the unusual step of asking everybody but the African-American defendants to step out of his courtroom one day so he could have a fireside chat with the young men about their behavior. But some have criticized the move as racially insensitive. He wrote about it in an op-ed in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last week, and he's here with us to talk with us now about this. Welcome. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
So if you would, take us back to that day. What was going on?
Oh, I was have my plea and arraignment calendar every Thursday. And that's when, you know, defendants come in and they negotiate pleas. And we deal with motion, status of cases, and whether or not it's on the final plea calendar. Final plea calendar simply means on that particular day, if it's on that particular calendar, that's the last day you can negotiate a plea. If you don't negotiate on that particular day, you may plead guilty thereafter, but any sentence imposed is at my particular discretion. And when we got through calling the calendar, and it was the same old cases, murder, child molestation, robbery, home invasion, aggravated assault. And I just thought about what, you know, the great writer, Nikki Giovanni, said, "Lord, will we ever see the light?" And I just said at some point in time, someone needs to speak to these people, whether they're young, and just tell them all this violence has to stop, cannot continue to go. And I guess what really got me upset, a father had had sex with his two daughters. In another instance, there was a neighbor of mine who was out feeding his dog and somebody shot and killed him for a $100 watch. A young man from Tallahassee, Florida, was marched out and killed by some friends of his because he had went to purchase some marijuana, and he had gotten ripped off by the seller. And when he came back, he simply said to them, "I got ripped off. Here's $500. We get paid on Friday. I give you another $500. And they basically said to him, "If you don't get that money up tonight, we're going to blow your brains out." And so he called his mom down in Tallahassee. Long story short, she called her brother, who was a minister out in DeKalb County, and asked him if he would get the money. And he got on the phone and said, "Don't kill him. I will bring you $5,000. But the day is Sunday. There's no financial institution open, and I don't have that type of money in my pocket." And with that, they heard several gunshots. And they shot and killed him, shot him in the head three or four times.
While they were, his family was listening.
On the phone.
On the phone.
And I just said, "My God, will we ever stop? We are executing each other. They appear before me. They can't read. They cannot write. Have no character, no morals, and what have you." And I just exploded.
It wasn't planned. You didn't come in that day thinking, "I'm going to do this." This just something that occurred
to you. Oh, no. It was not programmed at all. Spontaneous, because somebody has to say something, and if people like myself don't say something, who's going to say it? You know, the ministers are silent on it. You know, we get in church and we pray every Sunday, and before we can get out of church and get in the car, there's another crime, a home invasion. Can you imagine sitting in your home and someone come in and kick the door down while you're eating with your family? And they blow your brains out. And, you know, enough is enough, as Fannie Lou Hamer said in 1968 at the Democratic Convention. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I guess I was sick and tired of being tired on that particular day. And I just simply said to them, "You need to govern yourself accordingly. You need to get in school. You need to learn a trade. You learn how to do something that is constructive so that you can be a better you."
Did you clear the courtroom of everybody but the defendants? I mean, you had some security there, I assume, right?
Oh, I always have security.
But, did you ask the white people to step out, or how did you exactly express what it is that you wanted to happen?
Oh, you just said it for me. I said, the white defendants and all whites excuse themselves. I want to talk to my brothers one-on-one. And they excused themselves. And I really asked myself 1,000 times, I don't see what I'm doing did wrong. If asking some people not to kill, shoot, to have sex with your daughter, to rape, if that is wrong, I don't want to do right. Because I see that as my role. And I said it to my children every day. I would carry them to school and say, give me your best today. Daddy love you, you know. And they went on to do extremely well. And I think sometimes we put our arms around these young people and tell them where they're going wrong. That will kind of help out, you know.
Some people say, in fact, you got mixed reaction to this.
I didn't get mixed reaction.
Well.
The telephone calls are running 9-1 saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I went into a local grocery store the other night, Publix, in my neighborhood, where I was literally mobbed by people walking up to me, putting their arms around me, saying, right on. You know, so I don't know where the media's coming from.
I think
about my being criticized, and I get a call from
there are people who let me help you. There's people writing to the newspaper saying that they understand what you were trying to do, but that they make 2 points. One is they say that white folks do wrong too, and they could have appreciated that lecture. And the second point they make is that if perhaps a white judge had told all the black folks to leave the courtroom so he could talk to the white folks separately, that would have raised hackles. And so that's the argument. So yeah, what do you say?
My argument in response to that, the following week I called him in and I blessed all of them out, white, black, Hispanics, everybody was in the courtroom. So what wrong has been done? I have to do what I do best, okay? They tried to stop Gandhi when he started on his journey. And they criticize him and they criticize me. And if I have done wrong, that will be another election and people can voice their opinion.
How did the young men in the courtroom react when you spoke your piece?
They stood up and applauded.
Really?
Mothers, defendants, and everybody applauded. And my sheriff said to me, Judge, everybody could have benefited from that speech. And I said, you're absolutely right. And next Thursday, I give the same speech. But it's like the old black minister who came in and kept giving the same sermon over and over again. And the elders went to him and said, my God, have we made a mistake in hiring you? You're giving the same message every Sunday. He said, well, I give the same message, and you all go out in the streets and do the same thing. And when you all change, I'm going to change. Mm-hmm. And when they change, I'm going to change.
You felt that the young black man needed to hear this more at that particular time?
I mean, walking around with the pants hanging off their behind, got hats turned on left and right, shirts out, cell phones on, and I just don't tolerate that. My mama was a domestic worker and educated 5 of us, and we all got postgraduate degrees, just didn't put up with that type of nonsense. People in my neighborhood didn't put up with that nonsense. School teachers didn't put up with that nonsense. But now you can't even say anything to a kid, or you're a discipline. I'm talking about the teachers and the instructor. We need to turn it around. We in control, and they need to comply with the laws and the rules and the regulations.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Fulton County Superior Court Judge Marvin Arrington about some choice words that he had for defendants in his courtroom one day recently that got some attention. Judge, stop for a minute and tell me a little bit about yourself. Why did you want to become a lawyer?
When I was a young man, the only lawyer I knew was Calhoun on Amos and Andy, And then I got a chance to participate in the civil rights movement with some great leaders and friends, Lonnie King, whom people have forgotten about, Julian Bond, Danny Mitchell, Carolyn Banks, and so many people. We got up and put our lives on the line, in demonstration, traveled to Mississippi, and there was no lawyers to defend us. And there was one great lawyer that I subsequently came to practice law with by the name of Donald Lee Hollowell, a distinguished lawyer who passed here. He was Vernon Jordan's mentee, my mentee, Howard Moore Jr. mentee, and there was a need for Afro-American lawyers. And at that particular time, Howard University in 1965 opened the doors and admitted 150 Afro-American male and females and others to come to Howard Law School to train us. And so I went off to law school to be trained so I could return to the South and I could be that voice. I could be an advocate. And so that's why I wanted to do it. And I love the law. I thought that I could do some good. I can make a difference. And I think I have made a difference.
Why did you want to become a judge? I mean, you were named one of Atlanta's top 25 lawyers, which is no easy thing to do ever. Black Enterprise named your firm one of the country's top black law firms. You've been in politics and so forth. Why'd you want to become a judge? Some people think you could be playing some golf.
No, I don't want to play no golf. You know, I play golf.
Tennis.
And, well, I quit playing tennis in 1958 when Arthur Ashe beat me 6-love at North Carolina College on the first court. So I decided to give up tennis. But you'll find out in 3 or 4 years when your husband come in and say to you, I'm exhausted, I'm tired. And I had done it for 28 years, educated two children, my grandma would say children, you know. And they had gotten out, passed the bar exam, went to some top schools, and I was just through. And I just wanted to have some time with my grandchildren, three of them. You know, they're 7, 4.5, and 2.5, and I look forward to, on Sundays, to go out and just be with them and enjoy my life.
Do you think, though, getting back to your chat with the young men in the courtroom, do you think that a lot of particularly African-American judges feel the way you do, that you're sitting there day after day and seeing all this human wreckage in front of you and you just want to do something?
I am telling you, the emails that we have received from state court judges, U.S. District Court judges, which have been mind-boggling, and say, keep on keeping on. And one today, and I'm not going to give his name, but a U.S. District Court judge said, don't let the bastard stop you. You did the right thing. And so I'm encouraged. And, you know, and if, you know, it doesn't work out for me and I'm age 67, I'll just go impact my 401k and move on about my business.
All right. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Marvin Arrington, he joined us from Georgia Public Radio in Atlanta. Judge Arrington, thank you so much for speaking with us.
All the best.
Remember, at Tell Me More, the conversation continues. We want to know what you think of Judge Arrington's decision to ask to speak only to the black defendants in his courtroom. Did he cross a line by asking all the white people in his courtroom to step outside? Did he open the door to frank talk or just make a mess? To tell us what you think, visit our blog at npr.org/tellmemore, or you can call our comment line at 202-842-3522. That number again is 202-842-3522.